and someday under, we will nevermore wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor old, deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. Search of a city, I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And some more wonder, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Good evening, everybody. Wonderful place to be. It's been a good all day. I thought this week we was going and took a little vacation, enjoyed it very much, had a good time, eat a lot, too much, but I'm always glad to get back home, get back in church. I love it. I'm glad God gave me that desire to be in church, be with you all. I enjoyed the service this morning. It was just all good. Now, I know what Al will say. The Lord gave him this. He did it, and that's exactly right. But I've heard Al for several years. Maybe it was me or what, but Al, I never heard it sound no better than it was this morning. But that's the Lord does that. Yeah, owe it all to the Lord. Thought about Mike's lesson. Our minds can't comprehend God. It is a natural mind. God never was and never will be. He just always is. He's just always there. Always is. That's the way it was. There was no beginning with him. He began us, but I can't explain it. I could get in trouble even trying. But I'm glad that he loves me. He all that power, he still loves me. Ain't you glad of that? That's good. And that's enough to make a feller shout a little bit. And anyway. We had a good time this morning. We had a lot of some visitors come in, and I appreciated that. And adopted daughter Wilma come in, and that just kind of lit me up, you know. And known her all my life, but to see her in church and. And she knows what God did for her. She'll tell you that. She knows exactly. Hadn't been for the Lord, she would never come through what she did. And she knows that, and she thanks God every day. But anyway, we're glad of all of you. And Chris, I'm just bragging on everybody this morning. That choir sounded good this morning.
Yeah.
It was just a pleasure to standing up there in it. And you said something made me feel good. Now, you might think this sounds funny. Said, I'm glad of my choir. You are the leader of that choir, buddy.
Amen.
And I appreciate you for it. That made me feel good when Chris said that. I'm glad. I just been made to feel good all day. Service is yours tonight. It's the Lord. You mind what the Lord tells you to do. I'm going to get out of the way. Robbie will be preaching here in a little bit. I always watch for which one comes through with the suit on. I can about pick them out. So that's how I most of the time pick them out. Sometimes they might fool me. But anyway, we love every one of you. I think we need to go to prayer. I don't know. I think we just all need to gather around and shake hands with one another. And if you want to hug somebody, you do that. Let's just sing a good old song, Chris, and then we'll all gather up front and have a good family prayer together, okay?
Page 116, 116.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a king in his beauty there. And they tell me that mine eyes shall behold where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow. In that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again. Unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Testimony before we go any further, before we go to prayer.
Thank you. carry a stove. He's got to go 3 times a week, but now he just wastes what I just want to remember.
I'm sure we all have uplifted hand requests. The Lord knows all about them. Anybody want to, gather up front, and we'll all go to prayer together.
Thank you.
let's all sing one more together. 281. 281.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly
testimony right now. You got a song, Chris? Can you tell me? Bless you, Mike. Anyone else?
I've not done this one by myself, but just one other time. So this is a Kuntz family song, but it's a good one, and I enjoyed it, and I brought it this evening just in case. But I should have said something I didn't earlier, but you pray for us. We're leaving Friday. We're going to Florida to suffer for a week. And you pray that the Lord will give us traveling mercies. And then when we get back, Isaac has to go back for his appointment. He had an MRI on his arm, just to keep you up to date. Don't think he's going to have any kind of surgery. We don't think. But he goes back to see just what the extent of his injury is on his elbow and if he's going to have a baseball career or not anymore. So pray for him. Pray for that. And he's already got a plan B. And I'm telling you what, he's doing a fine job singing bass with me and Kevin and Amy. And we sang last night at Black Betsy, and the Lord come down and visited, and it was good. And I was just glad to have him standing up there singing with me. And he'd hit a note or so every now and then in the monitors, and it'd just make my hair stand up on my back just because it was him. He's mine, and I was proud of him. God has provided a lamb.
The test of one's faith is hard to endure, but Abraham's faith was so strong. God said to offer his grace. His son, God has provided a lamb. Don't bring down your knife, Abraham. So thankful you'll be, your son can go. God has provided a lamb. We all have sinned, the debt must be paid. God will that justice be done.
Come on up. Brother Aaron, I'm glad you're getting to come with us. I miss you preaching, but I'm glad you're able to come to church with us. I want you, if you would, to pray for Robney's message tonight.
Good evening. If you've got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If everybody's done, anybody else got a testimony? John chapter 21, we'll start reading in verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when Peter had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Tonight we want to talk for just a few minutes about love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. I was studying and thinking about this, and as I was looking at it, I thought, there's not much of a better example of love and forgiveness than Jesus with Peter right here. And the Bible says, God writing in 1 Peter 4:8, he says, "Love covers a multitude of sins." Now, what we're going to talk about is God's love and show God's love. But what I want you to think about maybe is that God loves you. God loves you and God loves me. He doesn't just love the sinners. His call isn't just for the sinners. His call, he came first and foremost to save the lost. That's why we're saved. But after that, he doesn't just forget us. He doesn't just leave us. He doesn't just set us aside and say, "Well, I'll see you when you close your eyes for the last time." But rather, he loves us all the way through. And that's what I want to talk about is maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've done some things that you just feel like you can't be forgiven for. Maybe you've gone so far into things you just feel like God can't forgive you, or God's love can't get there. That you're too far, I've done too much, I'm too bad, I'm too wrong, I've done too much wrong. That I don't feel like, maybe you feel like there's things that, maybe you've been a Christian a long time. And suddenly things have popped up in your life and you feel like, "Well, can God forgive me for that?" God can forgive and God will forgive and God does forgive for anything. He said love covers a multitude of sins. Love washes the sins away. It's his love and his blood that takes care of it. He loves you and he loves me not because of who you are and who I am, not because of what we are, but rather he loves us just because he made us. He loves you just because you're you, not because of anything else. He loves you because he chooses to, and that's what he did. Love is a choice, and God chose to love you, and God chose to love me, and he chooses to do so every day. He chooses to never not love you. No matter what we do, we can't do too much, we can't say too much, we can't go too far, we can't be evil enough, we can't be bad enough that God's love won't be there. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from that love. That God's love is around you all the times. God's love is on you all the times. God's love is for you all the time. That nothing can take you away, separate you from that love. You see, the Bible tells me in you that he loved me before the world began, before the foundation of the earth. He laid out a plan because he loved you before he even said, let there be. The first let there be, there was a plan. The plan was for you. And I thought about something, and this is just me. And you may never have done this, but I thought about something as I was studying this. I thought about the latest sin I had committed, because I have committed a sin lately. Just let you know that. Some people think I'm perfect. Well, I'm not. Lori can tell you. I mean, you know what I thought when I was studying this? I was thinking, you called me to preach anyway. And this is what I said to him. You forgave me anyway. You loved me anyway. I said, you knew that would pop up in my life, and yet you still loved me, forgave me, saved me, continue to forgive me, even though you knew that I was going to make mistakes, that I was going to do the wrong thing sometimes. I was going to make the wrong choices sometimes. I was going to say the wrong thing sometimes. I was maybe have the wrong thoughts sometimes. I was going to do the wrong. You knew that I was going to sin even after I said yes to your salvation, and yet you did it anyway. He said, yeah, it's because I love you. He said, my love covers all that you'll ever do. My love, there's nothing you can do, Rob, that will ever make me go, well, forget it. Forget it. My love's not for you anymore. He said, my love covers whatever you do in the rest of your life, whatever you do for the time that you're on this earth, you, me, all of us, God says, my love covers that up. I have made a way and prepared a way to cover that, wash that, make it clean, forgive that. My love and forgiveness is there ready. It's there prepared. It's there just waiting for you and me to ask, waiting for you and me to repent, waiting for you and me to go, Lord, forgive me. And his love is there waiting, and it'll never not be there. It'll always be there no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, no matter what's happening in our life. God says, my love is there ready to cover it all up, to wash it all away, to make it white, to make you pure in my sight. That's what the Bible says, that God puts his righteousness. When you ask him to forgive you, he said, I've put my righteousness within you. Because, you know, our righteousness when put up to his is nothing but a bunch of filthy rags, it says. Not even worth bringing up. Not even worth talking about. Not even worth claiming. We have no righteousness compared to God. He says, my love is like this. When I forgave you, I put the righteousness of Jesus Christ on you so that when you ask forgiveness and I wash you clean, you're white and pure again. You're righteous in my sight. Now, you may never be righteous in somebody's sight in this world. There may be people that just think you and or me are the worst people in the world. But in God's sight, when you and I say, Lord, forgive me, he says, I forgive you, I wash it, I cover it, I wipe you clean, I make you whole, I make you pure, because my love covers it all. If you only commit one sin, it covers that. But if you commit more than one, my love covers that. My love goes beyond one. My love goes beyond two. My love goes beyond three. And we're supposed to be just like him. We're supposed to be like him. You see, the Bible says that perfect love, little John wrote, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love sends all fear away. Perfect love, there's no sense of fear when there's a sense of perfect love. What's perfect love? Well, God never gets mad because we do something. God never gets mad because we do something. Have you ever done, who's married? Who's married or ever been married? Who's ever dated somebody? Who's had a boyfriend or girlfriend? You ever done something that made them mad and you knew about it for days? Anybody? Days? You know? You know that's not God. That is so not God. Not saying it happens anywhere that I know of, but I've heard of people. Read it on the internet one time, so I know it's true. Somebody got mad at their spouse, and they were mad for a long time. Days, they knew about it, you know. God never does that. God says, I don't do that. And the thing about his love, he says, I love you such that you don't have to worry and you don't have to fear when you come into my presence. Okay, so let's pretend that you were the one that did something that made the other person mad. When you walk into the room shortly thereafter that they're in, what's it like in that room? Cold, ooh, tension. I think I heard experience talking. I'm not sure. Somebody read it on the internet too, didn't you? Internet. It's cold. It's tension. You're fearful. Do I say the right thing? Do I say the wrong thing? Do I say anything? Do I just sit there, shut up, and look pretty? That's or That's what. With God, it's not that way. When we come into the presence of God and we've done something that he should get mad at, he doesn't. When we've something that he should stay mad at, he doesn't. When we've done something that he should, his love should be tainted, or it's not. He says, don't worry, don't fear, just come into my presence. Don't worry, don't be afraid, just come talk to me. Don't worry, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, just come and ask me. He said, just come and ask me. This is how he put it. He said, I will. Let me just read it to you. By the way, if these are anybody's here, thank you, because these aren't mine. We were talking in the hallway. These are, for whoever these belong to, these are in the back hallway on top of the coat rack thingy. Apparently you have to rent them because there's a dollar up there now. So I got him a dollar. Somebody's making money here. These are for rent. And they work too. So the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Because all have sinned, the Bible says. Me, you, and everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So any of us who says, I've never committed a sin, well, you've either been dead till that day, or you don't have a clue what sin is, or this is what it is. The truth is not in us. We're just lying. That's all there is to it. So there you go. If we say there is no sin, we just put one there. Just put one right there, because we become a liar. So he says, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He said, if we confess, he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive us of our sins. So he says to you and me, no matter what the sin, no matter what it is, no matter how big we think it is, how little we think, what's the biggest sin you and I know about? What's the biggest sin you would never commit? The biggest sin. What is it? Somebody tell me. Murder. The biggest sin you know about? Biggest sin. Murder. Denying God. What else? Biggest sin. What's the smallest sin? What's the smallest sin? Telling a fib, a little white lie. What was the answers on the sides? Sin is sin. There is no big and little. There is no distinguishableness between sin. Is that a word, distinguishableness? Took me a while to say that. Did you hear that? There is no distinguishableness in sin. It's all sin. So when you and I come to God to forgive us for asking forgiveness for a little white lie that we tell, or the last murder we committed, and hopefully that's not anybody. But you know, I guess if you did, just ask God to forgive you. He says, if you mean it, I will. There's no worry, there's no care, there's no fear. Coming into the presence, and think about that, coming into the presence of the Almighty, all-powerful God, who can do whatever he wants and would be justified in doing that. He can take our life in an instant and would be justified in doing that. He says, but don't worry. You won't get that cold shoulder. You won't get that tension in the room. You won't get that feeling of, am I okay? Because he says, if you come to me with a broken heart, if you come to me with the sadness and sorrow, if you come to me and ask forgiveness, what you're going to find is I will forgive you. And I will cleanse you from all, every single bit of it. All unrighteousness. He says, I'll make you clean. God's love and forgiveness is not conditional. God's love and forgiveness is providential. It means it's always there and going to work. It's always going to work. How many of you, I'm not going to ask you to answer, but how many of you, when you did that thing that made that person mad and you said, I'm sorry, it didn't matter for a minute? You know, apology not really accepted for a minute. God says, when you say I'm sorry and you mean it, done. Done, washed, wiped away, thrown away, cast it away, forgot about, never to be remembered again. Never. Never. So when the devil brings it up to you and says, remember when you did that, you can say, I sure do. But God doesn't. God doesn't remember. So devil, go away, because God's love and forgiveness is perfect and pure and righteous and holy, and it works every time. It works every time. What he said it like this. Because you see, he calls the sinner to come unto him. He calls those that are lost to come get saved. Those that are hellbound, come to me. But he also calls to the ones that are saved, that are forgiven, that are blood-bought, but make that mistake, that commit that sin. So maybe tonight in your life, there's that sin still abiding. Maybe that you've never asked forgiveness for. Maybe that you feel like you can ask forgiveness for, but you need to. Maybe you're just afraid God won't accept it. Maybe you're afraid God won't forgive you. God says, I will. Why? Because his love and his mercy and his forgiveness are holy and they're righteous and they're pure. Every time he says it like this, he says, whoever comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. In other words, I have an all-accepting heart. I have an all-accepting arms. I will accept anybody. I will accept everybody. And that to me is hard to believe. That's hard to fathom. Because I'm okay. I'm okay with all those who are saved getting forgiveness. But there are some people that aren't saved that I go, really, God, you would forgive them? I think of people in the past and even now that are doing things, evil things, and I think, God, you would forgive them? Really? And God says, yes, I would. Yes, I would. I forgave you. I forgive them. Your lie, no different than their murder. Your dishonesty, no different than their stealing. God says, I love them too. But I love you. And that's what I want you to know tonight is that God loves you. And God wants to forgive you. And God will forgive you. He was talking to Peter one time. He was talking to the disciples one time about forgiveness. And see, our job is to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. So Peter says to Jesus, well, Jesus, tell me this. Because, you know, we want to do the least amount, right, in this world. We want to do the least amount. What's the least thing I got to do, God? What's the least thing I got to do? Like the rich young ruler came to him and says, what one thing must I do to get eternal life? Well, we want the least. So Peter says, if my brother offends thee, how often should I forgive him? Seven times? Now, Peter in that statement thought he was sounding big and holy. Should I forgive my brother seven times? God says, no. No. But seven times 70, should you forgive your brother? I think Peter went, oh, that's not the answer I expected. That's not quite where I thought we were going here. I thought seven sound pretty good. Seven sound holy. Jesus says, no, seven times 70 I'll forgive you. And I was reading, and I'm going to turn here and read this, because I'm sure I've read it sometime, but I don't recall ever reading it, what the Bible says, in Luke chapter 17. If you want to turn there, if you want to remember it and go there. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus speaking says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Okay, that's not bad. Right? It almost gives you and me a humanistic good feeling. If your brother offends you, rebuke him. I like that, right? I'm going to tell you about it. I feel like Jesus just said, if you wrong me, I have the right to tell you all about it. Then he kind of says, but if he comes back and asks you forgiving, you got forgiving. That's hard to do. But listen to what else he says. Because Jesus makes it a little bit even harder here. Verse 4. If he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he turns again unto thee and say, I repent, you got to forgive him. That's what he said. You got to forgive. You mean if my brother... Now, let's think about it. Who are we talking about? We're not talking about the world here. We're not talking about the unsaved person that just can't stand us. We're not talking about those co-workers that don't like us, but they're not saved. We're not talking about our neighbor who put that fence where it's not supposed to be, and they aren't saved. It says if your brother, if your Christian friend, if your Christian sister and brother offends you seven times in a day, forgive him seven times in a day. I have a hard enough time forgiving him one time in a day, much less seven. Jesus says, that's what I do. That's what I do. That's the love of Jesus. That's the love of God. And how many times in a day do I need forgiveness? Is there ever seven times that I sin against God? Is there ever more than seven in a day I sin against God? Jesus forgives me every time. He says, all I ask is you to do the same. I don't ask you to do any more than I've done. I don't ask you to do any more than I will do. I don't ask you to do any more than I've not done for you. And even I'll help you do that, which I ask you to do. So he says, seven times in a day, if your brother sins against you, if your brother offends you, if your brother makes you mad, if your brother gets on your nerves, seven times in a day and turns around and says, forgive me, he says, you got to do it. You got to forgive him seven times in that same day. Seven times. Why? Because that's the love of Jesus. That's the love of God. And seven times in a day, if I sin against God, he said, and I asked Jesus, forgive me, he said, I will. I will forgive you. Go and do likewise. Forgive your brother. Why? Because Jesus loves you more than your sin is bad. Jesus loves you more than your sin hates him. Jesus loves you more than you love him, more than I love him. He loves us more than that. He loves us more than we love him. He loves us because he made us. He loves us because you're his child. He loves us because you're his creation. His love and his forgiveness is perfect and pure and holy and righteous and just. And in this scripture, in John, we see something that shows us, to me, it's the epitome of love and forgiveness. Because what's going on in this scripture is Peter and Jesus. It's the disciples on the shore. All right, so the disciples are out there fishing. After Jesus' death on the cross, the disciples are out there fishing. And they didn't catch anything all night, and then they're coming in, and Jesus says, cast it on the right side of the boat. Cast it on the right side, not the wrong side, the right side. And they do, and they take in more than they could even haul in. The boats are full, and then Peter swims in, and disciples come in, and we know what happened. This is Jesus talking to Peter, and Peter talking with Jesus in front of all the disciples. But I want to think for just a minute about who this is. Because why is it, in my mind, such a great example of love and forgiveness? Because the Bible says, when Jesus was walking, this is in the beginning of his ministry, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he looked and he saw two brothers fishing, tending their nets, Simon and Andrew, Peter and Andrew, and he looked at him and he said, follow me. And the Bible says immediately, at once, straightway, they followed him. Peter just left it all, dropped it all, without notice, without thought. Said, okay, let's go. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Without questioning, the Bible says that Peter straightway, immediately, at once, went and followed him. Just dropped what he did, what he was doing, his livelihood, his career, his life, and said, I'll follow you. So from the beginning, Peter followed Christ because he was Christ. Peter followed him because it was the right thing to do. Peter didn't question anything. He didn't ask. He just did it. He just did it. And we know that one day, you know the story, when they were out on the boat, the Bible says the winds were strong and all that. The waves were high and the storm was raging. Jesus on the water. And the Bible says that they were afraid. The disciples were afraid. And they looked out and there was Jesus on the water. And Jesus says, fear not, it's me. And Peter says, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus says, come. Peter says, okay. And out the boat he went. Out the boat he went, right? Walking on the water. Walking on the water. Why? Because he stepped out in faith. Stepped out in faith at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. At the very beginning, he stepped out in faith without questioning. Out of the boat, he stepped out in faith without questioning. Then we find him in the garden the night before his death. And we see that all the disciples around, they were all there. And you see, we give Peter a lot of time, a hard time, because he opens his mouth and sticks in his foot, right? But he's the one that steps out first, foremost, quickest, and boldest for God. That's why I like him. So we see him. All the disciples are in the boat, but only Peter steps out. Right? All the disciples are in the garden. But when the army comes, only Peter steps up. He steps up, draws a sword, and says, bring it, boys. You're not getting my Jesus. And he's ready to take on the whole army. Ready to take on the whole army. This is right the night before Jesus' death. But he's talking with, they're talking. And Jesus is talking about everybody leaving him. He says, you're going to go away. They're going to kill me and you're going to scatter. You're going to go abroad. You're going to go away. Peter says, this is what Peter says. He says, though others may be offended of you, others may be offended by you, I will not be offended. Though others may be offended by you, I will not be offended. And Jesus looked at him and said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. The one that just stepped up, stood out, walked up and said, bring it, boys, to protect, to be the one to save Jesus. The boldest of them all. The one who in the midst of all the disciples was ready to take on whoever was in front of him. Ready to take on the devil and all that he had. He had done this all the way through his walk with Jesus. Jesus was there with him. Jesus even healed his mother-in-law from a fever. But when they nailed him to the tree, Peter denied Jesus and then went away. All that happened in Peter's life with Jesus. And then Jesus warned him, you're going to deny me three times. Now think and put yourself in that spot. Put yourself in that spot for just a minute. If somebody tells you that before the rooster crows once, you're going to deny me three times, what are you going to be on guard for the rest of that night? Any time to deny, don't you think? I mean, we're going to be on guard. We're going to be watchful. We're going to be waiting for that moment to come. So we go, no, 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 no. Not here. Not right now. Let's get back. So Jesus even warned him, and yet he still denied him three times. And after his death, he ran away. But here on the shore, at dinner, Jesus looks at Peter. All the disciples are around. Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, you know I do, Lord. You know I love you. How many of you, and I'm the king of this one, I'm the president of this club, are impatient? Okay. If you tell somebody something once, they really don't need to ask you again, right? Second time, okay, third time, forget it. You don't get the answer. We're done, right? Think about it for a minute. Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know all, you know it all. You know everything. You know I do. He says, yes. He says, I'll go take care of my loving people. Take care of my flock. Take care of my sheep. Go lead my church. He looks at him a second time and he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. And he says, Peter, go take care of my little lambs. Go take care of my little ones. Take care of the children. Take care of those that I love, that I'm dying for. Looks at him a third time and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, he's in my boat. He's in my club. He's in that, right? You asked me three times. We're having issues here. Either you have a hearing issue, I have a speaking issue, or I just don't like you asked me three times. One of the three, right? He says, Lord, it says he was grieved with him. He said, Jesus, you know everything. What don't you know? You know the square root of pi, and if there is one, and you don't know if I love you? He says, you know I love you. In that moment, Jesus had every right to go, that's your attitude? Walk, buddy. Don't come back. Which is what I would have done. I would have done both. If I was Peter, I'd have been aggravated that he asked me three times. If I was Jesus, I'd have been aggravated that he answered me like that. So I'd have said, Peter, there's the road. Just walk. Jesus says, oh, go feed my people. Go take care of my church. Go love the Christians. Go take care of those that I take care of. Go feed my sheep. He forgave him again. Forgave him again in that instance. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Because I said, I do it because I love you, not because you are anything deserving. I do it because I love you, because I made you. Love is a choice that we make. And Jesus says, I choose to. And he said, Peter, I love you. Even though you denied me, even though you went away, even though you walked away from it all, even though you just got mad at me, even though you just got aggravated at me, even though you just got smart with me, even though you just got angry with me, I still love you. I love you that much. And what Jesus would say to you tonight is, I love you. I'm just about done. Jesus would say to you, I love you. I love you. My love goes far beyond anything you've ever done. My love goes far beyond anything you'll ever do. My love goes far beyond your imagination, far beyond your deeds. My love goes beyond and will never stop. Tonight, if you need Jesus in any way for anything, he's here. He says, come unto me all, everybody, for whatever reason, bar none, exclude none, nothing too big, nothing too small, nothing too mean, nothing too good. Just come if you need me. So as we stand and sing, tonight if you need Jesus, his love and his forgiveness, his mercy and his grace is here for you.
Page 52.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the
till the end. He will always be there. His love never fails. His love never wavers. Anytime you need it, it's ready for you. Any announcements? Center Shot starts back up this week. So if you're a helper or a teacher or anything in Center Shot, we go Wednesday. If you've got young ones to older ones, everybody's welcome over here to shoot bows and arrows and have a good time and learn about the Lord. So Center Shot starts back up Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Anything else? We've got a couple young people ready to take your offering as you go out the door. If everybody would bow your heads. Kip, would you dismiss us and pray for the offering, please?